All right, tonight, as we mentioned, we're going to start our study of the book of Hosea, a little 14-chapter book, but it's a wonderful book. And as I mentioned a minute ago, Hosea was one of the minor prophets. Again, not minor because of the message, but minor because of the length of his book. There were 12 of them all together: Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And I'm not sure I pronounced them all right, but there's 12 of them at the end of the Old Testament. And I want to give you a little historical perspective, tell you what was going on in the nation of Israel when Hosea wrote his book and delivered his message that God gave him to deliver. And then tonight we're going to try to look at the first chapter and talk about Hosea's marriage and how God used that to open his heart to the Word of God, and how God used Hosea's marriage to paint a picture of what was going on in Israel at the time. Hosea prophesied at the same time that Amos, Isaiah, and Micah prophesied. Now, at this particular time, the nation of Israel was divided into two parts. For those of you that may not know the story, when Solomon died, there were two men that came on the scene. One of them was named Rehoboam. That was Solomon's son. The other one was named Jeroboam. And some people call them the Boam brothers, Jeroboam and Rehoboam. But Rehoboam was Solomon's son. Jeroboam was the son of a captain by the name of Nebat in Solomon's army. Now, when Rehoboam came to the throne, because he was Solomon's son, Jeroboam had been down in Egypt in exile. He came back and said to Rehoboam, if you will remove some of the taxes that your father placed on us, we will serve you. See, in order to keep the lifestyle that Solomon had going, he had to tax the people heavily. And so Jeroboam, who had been in exile for standing up against the king, for leading a little rebellion against Solomon, came back, and he had some men with him. And he said, Rehoboam, if you'll just relieve some of this bondage, we'll serve you. We'll serve you as king. And so Rehoboam went to his advisors, and he asked the old men, the advisors that were with his father, he says, what do you think I should do? And they said, we think you ought to listen to them, and you ought to reduce the bondage a little bit. You ought to reduce the taxes. And then he went to the young men. He says, what do you think I ought to do? And he said, let them have it. Just keep the taxes on them. And Rehoboam listened to the young men, and he called Jeroboam back in. He said, Jeroboam, you thought my father's finger was heavy. He said, mine's going to be heavier. I'm going to have my hand in your pocket more than my dad did. And so Jeroboam led a rebellion against the king, and he took the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, and they formed what was called the Southern Kingdom, the Kingdom of Judah. All right? And Jeroboam became the king of Judah. Rehoboam had the other 10 tribes, the strongest one, which was the tribe of Ephraim. And remember where Ephraim fit in? Whose son was Ephraim of the 12 patriarchs? Not David's. Go back further. Joseph's. Right, Joseph's. And so Ephraim was the biggest tribe of the house of Israel. Now, Hosea and Amos were messengers to the northern kingdom, which they called Israel. All right? Again, 10 tribes in the northern kingdom. Hosea and Amos were prophets to them. At the same time, Micah and Isaiah were prophets to Judah, the southern kingdom. All right? Now, both Amos and Hosea, in their messages, said that the two nations were going to come back together. Amos, in his book, emphasized the judgment of God that was going to come before that. Hosea, he also mentioned the judgment of God, but he reminded the people that God still loved them. All right? Now, So in the book of Hosea, just again by way of introduction, there's two main sections. In section one, which is in chapters 1 through 3, it talks about Hosea's marriage. And then in chapters 4 through 14, it talked about the actual message that he delivered to the people. Now, I mentioned a moment ago that God used Hosea's marriage to open his heart to the Word of God. You know, that sometimes God has to do that to us sometimes. Sometimes we may read the Bible and the Holy Spirit tries to teach us the truth that is in the Bible, but we don't listen. And we get hard-headed and we say, oh, I know better than God does. And so God has to come along and he has to bring some sorrow or misfortune into our life, sickness or some other trouble, so that the Holy Spirit can open our heart and the Word of God can get inside. Now look, it's the Word of God that changes people. Don't you think for a minute that my preaching changes people. It doesn't. Don't you think for a minute that Brother Wendell's singing changes people. Don't you think for a minute that any Sunday school teacher with their personality and their intelligence can impact people. It's this book right here that impacts and changes people. And if we can get people under the preaching and the teaching and the reading and the meditation of this book, we can reach him for God. And so Hosea was a little bit stubborn. And God said, I'm going to have to do something in Hosea's life to open his heart to the Word of God. And so you read in chapter 1, verse 1, the word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri. And that's the only time in the Bible that that name Beeri is mentioned. The only thing we know about him is that he's Hosea's father. In fact, the only thing that we know about the man Hosea is what we learn about in the book of Hosea. In fact, the name Hosea, and you'll notice this as you read it, as we read it these next few weeks, the name Hosea is only mentioned 3 times in the whole book of Hosea. The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Now again, was Hosea a prophet to the nation of Judah or Israel? No. Israel. Good guess. You had a 50% chance. No, he was a prophet to the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel. All right? Try to remember that. He was the prophet to the northern kingdom. But the Bible says the son of in the days of, now the Hosea is trying to tell us the period of time that he was on the scene. And so he says, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, all kings of Judah. All right? And in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. So 4 kings on Judah side, 1 king on Israel side. Now, and I don't have time to go into all the years that these kings ruled, but Jeroboam ruled about 41 years. And if you start at the end of Uzziah's reign, and you go to the 6th year of Hezekiah, when the northern kingdom was carried away captive, you got about the same 40 years. So Hosea was there for about 40 years. All right? And I want to mention in just a minute, this Jeroboam is not the same Jeroboam that I talked about before. This is Jeroboam the second. Jeroboam the first was the first king of Israel. Jeroboam the second, who was king of Israel when Hosea was the prophet, was another Jeroboam. All right, that's why they put in there the son of Joash. All right, notice in verse 2, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. Now, a lot of people read that verse and they say, here's God telling Hosea to marry a prostitute. And I don't think that was the case. There was a law that the priest couldn't marry a prostitute. And I don't think God would have told one of his prophets to marry a prostitute. And I think we don't know what Hosea was. Some people think he was a farmer. Some people think he was a baker. And they say that because in the book he uses a lot of illustrations of farming examples. He talks about the fiery oven. I think Hosea was a priest. And I don't think he would have married a prostitute. But God said, I want you to go marry, take a wife of whoredoms. And what I think happened is Hosea married a woman whose name was Gomer. Together they had a son. And we're going to talk about that son in just a minute. After they had that son, Gomer became a harlot or a prostitute. I think she was, the Bible tells us, not I think, the Bible tells us she was unfaithful to Hosea. She went out and became pregnant again and had a daughter, which Hosea took into his home as his daughter. It wasn't his daughter, but he took it into his home as his daughter. Gomer went out again and became impregnated and had another son. Again, it was not Hosea's son, but Hosea took that son into his home and raised it as his son. After the birth of that third child, the second son, Gomer left. She went out and she became a full-time harlot. She became a full-time prostitute. Now, you have to understand, let me tell you a little bit about what was going on in the nation of Israel. The first Jeroboam, when he became king of Israel, he set up calf worship. All right? He made two golden calves. And they were similar to the calf that Aaron made for the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness. And he said to the people of Israel, again, the 10 northern tribes, he says, these are your gods. These are the gods that you ought to worship. And he set them up in their capital was Samaria. And he says, you come and worship these gods. Now, he also established what they called, I want to say this because I know we have children. I want to be delicate, but I want you to understand what was going on. He established a rite of worship that involved sexual sins. They had temple prostitutes, and the men would come in, and as they used these temple prostitutes, it was set up as a way of worship. And the thought was that the gods in heaven would look down into the temple and see this. It would cause them to do the same thing. And when they did the same thing, that led to good crops, that led to good animals, and that led to God blessing the land. And many, many people, as you study the book of Hosea and you read different books, think that Gomer, when she left Hosea, went and became a temple prostitute. All right? But regardless, she went into it full time. The children were still little. Two of them were not Hosea's, but he raised them as his son and his daughter. Now stop and think about it. I think Hosea, when Gomer left, was in his early 20s. The children probably were all under 5. I mean, he was a single parent. The mother had left. And Hosea raised these children. I mean, the first time they fell off their bike and somebody had to put a bandage on their knee, Hosea had to do it. As they went through grade school and had all the trials and tribulations of grade school, Hosea was the only one there to help them through it. As they grew to become teenagers and all the trials and tribulations of teenagers. And some of you are started on that. Some of you are still looking forward to it. Some of you are thanking God that you made it through. But all the trials and tribulations of teenagers, Hosea was the only one there. His daughter, or the girl that he raised as his daughter. When she had her first heartbreak, she didn't have mama to run and cry to. She had to go to Hosea. When his two sons were needed encouragement, they didn't have a mother to encourage them. They had to come to Hosea. And those three children grew and reached the point where they took husbands and a husband and a wife for themselves. And when the weddings were being planned, and when all the happy days of planning for people to join the family, Hosea was the only one there. No mother on the scene to do what a mother normally does. Hosea had to do it by himself. The children married, all three of them. They moved away from home. Hosea was in his 60s now. And because he wasn't preaching anymore, he would go down to the slave market and he would watch the auctioneer sell slaves. And he was down there one day and he noticed they were selling slaves, and there was a beautiful young lady that they sold, and Hosea thought to themselves, oh, she'll get a good price. And he watched as they auctioned her off. And then he noticed they brought an older woman to be auctioned off. She was bent over double with age and had wrinkles on her face, looked like she'd been used. And Hosea said, oh, she won't bring much. And then Hosea looked at her closer. And he says, that's Gomer. That's my wife. All through the years, from his early 20s, as he was raising the children, as he was helping them grow and helping them form families of their own, Hosea was still faithful to Gomer. Never married again. Never took another woman again. And Hosea saw Gomer on the auction block. The auctioneer says, what am I bid for this slave? Hosea was the first one to bid. Somebody else bid, Hosea raised his bid. Somebody else bid, and Hosea raised his bid, till finally the auctioneer said, sold to this elderly gentleman right here. Hosea went up and said, Gomer, you're still my wife. I want you to come home with me. You're not going to be my slave. You're going to be my wife. And the Bible says that Gomer and Hosea went home and lived the rest of their days together. Now, that's not just a fairy tale that God put in the Bible. It's an actual event in the life of an actual man, the man Hosea. And what God was trying to tell Hosea as he worked in his marriage was this. He says, Hosea, this is the people of Israel, the northern tribe. I'm the one that brought them out of Egypt. They were my bride. They were my people. I wanted them to love me. I wanted them to stay faithful to me. I want them to stay loyal to me. I wanted to be their God. I wanted them to be my people. But they turned and worshiped these other gods. They turned and worshiped Baal. And that's what they called the gods up in heaven in this system of worship that Jeroboam the first set up. He said, they've turned and worshiped Baal. And in fact, as God helped Hosea name his children, he was prophesying what God was going to say. Look down, verse 3. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel. For yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. Now, real quickly, Jehu, there was a wicked king of Israel, the northern kingdom, named Ahab. How many of you remember Ahab? Remember who his wife was? Jezebel, the wickedest king and queen who ever lived. And God said to Jehu, if you will overthrow Ahab, I'll bless you. And Jehu did. He killed Ahab. He became king. God said, because you killed Ahab, four generations after you are going to sit on the throne of Israel. And they did. Four descendants of of Jehu sat on the throne. But God said, look, here's what I want you to name your first son. Name him Jezreel, for I'm going to avenge the blood of Jezreel. I'm going to, and will cause to cease the kingdoms of the house of Israel. God's saying, I'm going to punish the nation of Israel. Then verse 6, and she conceived again and bare a daughter, and God said unto him, call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. God had been dealing with the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom, for over 200 years. 200 years, they were into sin, and God sent his prophets and said, look, this is sin. You need to turn back to God. You need to quit worshiping these calves. God's going to judge you. And in Hosea, by the names of the first two children, God was saying, I'm going to judge you. You're going to pay for this sin. Then verse 8, and when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then said God, call his name Lo-Ammah, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. I mean, here it is. Here's the culmination of God's judgment on the northern kingdom, on the kingdom of Israel. He says, I'm not going to be your God anymore. Now, I mean, think about it. Here was a people that God called from Abraham and then Isaac and then Jacob and then the patriarchs. He brought them out of Egypt, led by Moses. All the time they sinned, they turned away from him. God never turned his back on him. He says, you're going to be my people. I'm going to be your God. For 200 years, as they existed as a separate nation, the northern kingdom, God says, I'm going to be your God. And time after time, he sent his prophets. And he says, turn back. Don't sin. Turn back. Until finally God got to the point, he says, I'm not going to be your God. You're not going to be my people. And then in verse 10, God repents, changes his mind. And you stop and think about it. Put yourself in Hosea's place for a minute. You marry a wife, have a child. She goes into whoredom, has two other children. Leaves you with the responsibility of raising those children. For 40 years you live alone, and then you buy her back and you take her home and make her your wife. And God says to Hosea, that's what I'm going to do to the nation of Israel. God got so mad at one point, he says, I'm not going to be your God anymore. But then at the end he says, I can't forget my great love for you. I'm going to buy you back and make you my own. You know, that's the same thing that God did for us. You remember when God created man and he put us in the Garden of Eden, he says, I want a fellowship with you. I want us to live in the same place. I want us to enjoy one another's company. I want you to be my people. I want you to be my God. But Adam and Eve and everybody since then sinned. They turned their back on God. And all throughout history, that's what this book is all about. All throughout history, God keeps coming back to mankind and says, I love you. I love you. I love you. And let me tell you something tonight. Sin is a slap in the face of God's love. A lot of people think they look at God up in heaven like he's a dictator, like he's a tyrant. No, he's a loving father. And when you turn your back on him, it's like spitting in the face of a daddy that loves you. And all throughout history, God sent his prophets. He said, I love you. I want to be your God. I want you to be my people. But the nation of Israel and we and every person that's ever lived kept turning their back on God. Till finally God had to send Jesus to the cross. Said that sin's got to be paid for. God says, I'm going to judge that sin. The sin's got to be paid for. But he says, I'm going to pay for it. So he sent Christ to the cross to die for our sin, to make us right with God, so he could take us back. Just like Hosea did Gomer, he could take us back as his bride. I wonder tonight, is there somebody here that's never received that love? You're still turning your back on God. You're still walking away from God. You're still saying like Gomer did, I don't want any part of you. I wonder tonight if you'd listen to the voice of love who says, I loved you and I sent my only begotten Son to die for you. Father, thank you for your great love for us. None of us deserve it. Just like Gomer didn't deserve Hosea's love, none of us deserve the great love that you have for us. All of us have walked away from you.